I know it's up
for me. Hey everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring episode 16.
Megan's introducing our show, everyone, because she's officially back in black.
Who's Megan?
Very funny, Ben. I'm back for real this time, guys. Mostly. Probably. Definitely.
Okay. Besides, you are wearing a black dress. I just want to point that out. When I said back in black, I meant it.
You weren't just making a reference to Men in Black.
No, or AC/DC.
Or Johnny Cash.
Or that large black rock at the beginning of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Or everyone mourning the death of Abraham Lincoln.
Obelisk?
That's it.
Okay.
Hey everyone, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria. To my left is one of our other hosts named Ben.
Hi.
And we have Megan over to my right.
Yes, or if you were looking at us, I would be on the left.
Oh, good point.
Thank you.
This is a show for Magic the Gathering learners. People who are coming back to the game, or people who just love Magic the Gathering so much, they need to listen to it as well as play it.
Mm-hmm. Is that you, listener? I hope so.
And we have been Meganless on this podcast for several months.
Yep.
As you've been traveling the world.
Yep. And now I came back, you guys. And word. I'm a better person for it.
Prove it.
I have some magical abilities now.
Oh. Wow.
Yep. I can start a fire by looking at something. And thinking, start a fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you keep that under control?
Well, I just have to make sure I don't think the words start a fire.
Mm.
I can say them, but as long as they're not in my mind, it's fine.
Okay. Wow. That sounds like a lot of responsibility. You're basically like Cyclops from the X-Men.
Exactly. Except I don't have to wear weird glasses all the time, which bothered me, guys. Maybe I'm the only person.
Why did that bother you?
I don't know. They're just not very good-looking glasses.
Well, that was his
curse.
How is
he supposed to know?
You don't think
he's not blind?
You don't think it bothered him that no one could ever look him in the eyes?
Okay, I can understand why that would be problematic for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you ever get over that?
You're not the only one suffering.
Ben, I'm also not a fictional character. I'm a real person with magic powers.
To our listeners, you might as well be a fictional character.
I'm touching your skin right now. It feels real.
Oh, thank you.
It feels like it could use some sun.
But Maria, aww, who's to say you're not a fictional character?
Good point. I am one. I'm not even going to play around.
You guys, you may have thought you've seen photos of us on our Twitter stream, but the fact is that we're just animated.
Speaking of Twitter stream, everybody, Twitter is a huge thing in the Magic universe. If you didn't know, follow us at MTAcast on Twitter. We would love to have you join our fold.
Thanks, Oprah.
Also, there's some really fun... We've been having some fun with some of the Dragon's Maze hashtags.
Yeah.
Such as split cards you won't see in Dragon's Maze.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one?
Dragon's Maze nicknames.
There we go. So that's pretty cool, guys. Check it out.
If you do, we'll probably favorite one of your tweets at us.
Yes.
Consider it a digital
high five.
High five. I was going to go deeper than that. I was going to say
a low five.
Butt slap.
A digital ass slap.
Mm.
From each one of us. You can also check out our website at magictheamateuring.com and send us an email at magictheamateuring@gmail.com and leave us a review on iTunes. We love to read those. In fact, we love to read them so much that anybody who leaves us one gets to have a pun made out of their iTunes username.
Wow.
And guess what?
That's invaluable. You cannot buy that.
You can't. And if you do, you've been ripped off. We've had a flood of these come in, and I'm just going to start out with some of them. I just want to just say thank you because they're all like stellar reviews and it just means a lot to us to get to read those and know that people enjoy the show. The first one was entitled Ben Kenobi and the Padawans.
which is pretty great.
I thought it was a great name for a review.
Yes.
Am I Ben Kenobi?
Yeah, you are.
I'm old Ben.
You're old Ben.
Yes. Or if we're looking at movies 1, 2, and 3, you're young Ben.
I'm not looking at those movies.
That's a good idea.
The first review is from Jerry Summers. Mm. Jerry Summers, leave us a review. We'll make a pun out of your name. Hey, Jerry Summers, are you Suzanne Summers' kid? Because you look like you could host a real bad TV show.
Hey, wow. Hey, Jerry, your last name is appropriate because your nice review is bringing summer to our lives, even in this shitty April winter.
Oh, yeah.
Better watch out, Jerry. Summer's leaving. That's a Game of Thrones joke.
I got it.
Also, just want to point out, Jerry Summers could be Cyclops' brother because he has the same last name.
What? Cyclops' last Summers? Name is Summers?
Yeah.
It all comes together.
Thanks, and say hi to Scott.
Our next reviewer's name is MattLink13. MattLink13. I'm sure you're better than the 13th episode of Matlock.
I don't think we can top that. We should just stop that.
It's also probably not true because Matlock was great.
What? Was it?
Aww.
No, what am I thinking of? The one with Dick Van Dyke, who has solved crimes in like a hospital.
MattLink 13 sounds like it's a reimagining of Matlock, but it's set in 2013.
Yes.
And it's like he uses his iPhone to solve crimes.
Yes, totally.
His data link.
Or he sells sausages.
And he's Matlock's grandson.
Awesome.
MattLink 13.
MattLink, if that's not the case, get on it, buddy.
Grandpa. Anyway, the next one we have is Stewie's good twin, who mentioned that he said, listen to the show, if only for Maria's reverse laugh. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Obviously, every time you laugh, you go,
That sounded so sexual.
Or maybe he's talking about the fact that you laugh at all of your own jokes before you say them.
Do I? Good one, me. Now here it is.
All right, let's hear the pun, Maria.
Oh, God. Stewie's good twin. Oh, I don't have one.
Stewie's good twin, your kind review is just as comfortable as a good twin bed.
Which is to say, not comfortable at all.
Stewie's good twin, I think you, Stewie's good win.
Hey, Stewie's good twin, you don't have a goatee.
Okay.
All right.
Sure, that's,
Star Trek. And the last one we're going to do today, we have more coming up next episode, is Disposable Hero. Which, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not a disposable hero to me.
Disposable hero. Reading your review was better than spending time in a day spa.
Hey, disposable hero. Your review was better than a disposable euro.
Hey, disposable hero. Your review is pretty good. I dispose. For the noobs.
Yep.
This is the part of our show where we talk about something for newer players. But guess what, older players, don't turn your ear holes off, because you might learn something.
That's right.
Also, medical doctors advise you don't turn your ear holes off.
Ever. 3 out of 4 doctors. That fourth doctor.
He's a wild card.
Yeah. Mm.
Never go to wild card doctor.
Never go to the fourth doctor.
Don't. All right, today, for the noobs, we're going to talk about some legendary creatures.
Legendary creatures?
Legendary creatures!
Legendary creatures?
Legendary creatures.
What's a legendary creature?
What's a legendary creature?
It's a legendary creature.
What makes it different than a regular creature?
Well, first of all, legendary creatures are all mythic rares, correct?
Nah.
No? Are they rares?
Nah.
Shut up, Miss Happy Ben.
Most of them are at least rare.
Okay.
But that's just a coincidence. That's a coincidence.
The unique thing about legendary creatures is that there can't be more than one of them on the battlefield.
Oh. How do you know if they're legendary?
It says legendary creature.
Where?
On the card.
And on the type line, right?
Yes.
Type line.
Yes. It has a legendary super type.
Every legendary creature also has a tramp stamp that says legendary creature.
That's true. You have to ask them to see it, though, and depending on the creature, some of them can get kind of testy about it.
Tell me about it. Don't ask Dakin Blackblade to see his tramp stamp.
Dakin the Blackblade?
Yeah.
That's not a name.
It is.
Oh my god. Ben is going to look it up and prove to us. Wait, don't go away from that page. Just open a new tab.
Dakin Backblade. Sounds like somebody just hacked up their dinner.
Look.
Boom.
Or it sounds like we're going back to that back and black joke that you made earlier.
Dakin Blackblade. He costs 6 mana.
You guys, I don't feel so good. I drank really a lot last night. Dakin Blackblade.
He has power and toughness equal to the number of lands you control.
Oh, all right.
He was one of the only legends. He's from the set Legends. And he's one of the only legends in that set that didn't really, really suck. He just is kind of mediocre.
It says summon legend on him.
Yeah, that was back before legendary was a super type. It was just a creature type. And there's a special rule.
It's hard to cast that guy. 3 colors.
Yeah. Worth it? And his ability is not even... He costs blue, black, and white. And his ability is not really related to any of those colors. It's kind of a black ability, I guess.
What's his ability?
His power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. That's really marvelous.
That's like a green thing.
A green ability or maybe a black ability. Yeah. Oh, well, Dakin Blackblade. He's from a bygone era.
Megan, why'd you leave out that milk? It was old Dakin Blackblade.
What do you think Dakin Blackblade's tramp stamp looks like?
I mean, it's his... It's that whatchamacallit.
Do you think it's... It's legend symbol?
Yeah, exactly.
The expansion symbol.
It's the expansion symbol. The broken column? It has like really fancy cursive script that says legendary.
And like a butterfly is coming out of it.
Exactly.
I was thinking maybe it would be the star/star.
Yes.
That would actually be a cool tattoo.
But it's really stylized in like... The gothic lettering that people get their tramp stamps in.
All right, yes. Listeners.
And then it's signed by Richard Kane Ferguson.
We challenge you to make that tramp stamp.
If you have a magic tramp stamp, take a picture and send it to us.
Mm. Yes. Alternatively, draw a picture of our gothic star/star. I legitimately think
that would be a cool looking tattoo.
That's why I'm saying make a picture. Let's see.
All right.
Can we come up with like a gender neutral version of the tramp stamp name?
I mean, guys can be tramps.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
But when a guy is a tramp, it has more of a positive connotation, right? Because it's like, he's like, ooh, scoundrel.
Like the Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, everyone wants to get down with that kind of tramp.
You know, like, it's basically Han Solo.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's a gender neutral way of saying it?
No think ink.
Yeah, all right, that's it. Done.
Did you see that guy's no think ink?
Whoa. That was so bad. He obviously really didn't think before he inked.
Also, if you get Magic the Amateuring ink, then we'll devote an entire episode to you.
To your whole life.
Just to you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, guys.
But you have to show us proof.
Yeah.
And it can't look Photoshopped.
We can tell by the pixels,
yes.
Right?
Important.
Although if
you
Photoshop it on your body, we'll retweet that.
Yeah, we'll retweet that.
So back to legendary creatures.
Mm. Right.
Like Dakin Blackblade.
Mm.
Dakin Blackblade.
Our forefather.
Yes. So there can't be, if someone, say that you had played a deck and Blackblade onto the battlefield and someone else played one, Lord knows. Would both just disappear.
That seems like leave. That seems like one of the least likely event sequence of events ever to happen. Yes. All right, I've played six lands. Two of them are islands. One is a plains. One is a swamp.
Yep.
I play Dak and Blackblade. Oh, I also.
I play Dak and Blackblade. And then both of them have to go away.
Because as we all know, two legendary creatures can't exist at the same time.
Nope.
Exactly. So question, Ben, do they go into the graveyard or are they exiled?
They go to the graveyard as a state-based effect.
State-based? Like the Russian government makes you do it?
More or less. State-based effects happen, like, faster than you can respond to them, if that makes any sense.
So there's nothing that you can do about it.
Right. Once they're both on the battlefield at the same time, they just go to the graveyard. You don't have a chance to respond to it or anything like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
What legendary creatures have we come across in this set so far?
Well.
In what set?
Return to Ravnica.
Oh, all right. Okay. In this block?
In this block.
Well, so far we've just had the guild leaders.
Uh-huh. Who have been. Let's hear about these guild leaders.
All right, let's say them in terms of, well, whoever is most affiliated with that guild can have the honor.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Aurelia, the war leader.
Borborygmos, enraged.
Asperia, supreme judge.
I love that bird.
None of us is affiliated with Golgari enough.
No one wants to claim Jared Golgari Lichlord.
I love that his name is just Jared.
But I'll take Lazav Demir Mastermind and Niv-Mizzet Draco Genius.
That's fair. Sure. Obzadot Ghost Council.
I'll take Prime Speaker Zagana, even though I passed you for a Cloudfin Raptor.
Oh my god. That happened, guys.
I was there, yeah. I will take Rakdos, Lord of Riots, of course.
And I will obviously take Tristani Celestnia's place.
All right, so these are the guild leaders. What
does that mean?
What?
Guild leader.
That they're guild leaders? Well, it doesn't mean anything in the game.
Okay.
It only matters if you pay attention to the lore behind the game, right? Like, are you the kind of StarCraft player that, like, knows who Jim Raynor and Kerrigan are, or do you just play it so that you can, like, Zerg rush? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I'm all about the Zerg rushing.
Lots of sense.
Right, right. So, within the folklore, these guys are the leaders of their respective guilds. And the old Ravnica set, some of these leaders were in that set, too, but some of them have also been replaced by different leaders.
Ooh, murder.
There's a little bit of overturn. There's maybe a coup.
Some kind of coup.
Right, like...
Borborygmos looks like he could stage a terrifying coup.
Well,
get out of that, guys.
I don't think it's a coup, like, if you just kill the old guy. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Like, he doesn't need the help of others.
Like, a coup implies there'd be lots of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would just, like, do it accidentally, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm in charge now.
That's fair.
But Asperia has got a sweet little hovercraft there.
That
so she planned it out.
Yep.
Asperia is a hovercraft.
By which you mean a giant bird. Uh-huh. You guys, birds.
The hovercrafts are chirping outside. Spring really is here. Everybody, in Minnesota, it snowed like a billion inches the other day.
Yep. It was the worst.
You know what? It's not the worst that it snowed. The worst is that if you look at the weather forecast, there is no end in sight.
No end.
Just as far as it goes, it's cold and overcast.
God damn it.
If only we could escape to some other plane.
If only we could escape to the plane of Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Mm.
That was pretty
Remember
nice.
When we did that, guys?
Yep.
Memories.
Yep.
So some of these guys have been playable in Gatecrash. Some of them, like Ben mentioned, you just pass yet in Gatecrash. Like Borborygmos. Is that how you say it? Say it.
Borborygmos.
Well, this guy costs 8 mana, so yeah, he's a bit much. Although I do have to say that he is very good in Momir Basic.
Oh yeah?
He's very good in what?
Momir Basic.
Listen to the last week's show. for more on Momir.
Right. Because he lets you do stuff with land cards, and in Momir Basic, you have a lot of land cards.
Yeah, so he's kind of unplayable right now. I mean, you could try, and it would be, I think it would be rare that you would get him out.
But you know what? I'm guessing that when Dragon Maze pokes along, when the Dragon Maze train pulls into town, and we pull the mailbag off the boxcar, and we reload the steam engine.
Yep. Keep going.
That he'll stand a chance, because I think things are going to slow down a little bit.
I'm excited for that. As much as I like to play fast, I think it'll be a nice change of pace.
It seems like about 50% of the creatures in Dragon's Maze have 4 toughness, so that's kind of why I think everything's going to be slower.
Yeah.
All right.
So Dragon's Maze has released a few legendary creatures already. And we've gotten a peek at some of the spoilers. So if you don't want spoilers...
Wow, an exclusive sneak peek?
Nope. Everybody who's been on the internet has seen
this. Wow, everybody. An inclusive sneak peek?
That's it. That's it.
Yay.
If you don't want to hear, as mentioned, turn off your ear holes. Not recommended by doctors.
So I just want to point something out. First of all, if you look at these guild leaders, one thing you'll notice is that they're all kind of tricky to cast because they all have... 4 mana symbols in their cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means they have 2 of each of the colors that they're part of. And if you look at the guild champions, they're a little friendlier. They only have 1 of each. And I'm guessing that's because we're making a shift. We're trying to be more multicolor friendly.
Okay.
And so
The Supreme Court has passed that rule.
They want you to throw these in your deck and not have to worry too much about, how are you going to come up with the money for those car payments?
Mm-hmm. Word.
So first up is Mirko Vosk. And as you'll notice, this guy has 4 toughness.
Oh, yep. Sure enough.
There he is.
What did I say? Everything has 4 toughness here. You guys.
This guy's a real bastard.
Yeah. Mirko Vosk, Mind Drinker. He costs 5 mana. He is flying. He's a 2/4. But he doesn't really do normal damage. He does do damage, but also when he does damage... He grinds you.
A lot.
Yeah.
For 4.
A lot. That for is 4 a lot. Lands.
Right. So you get milled until you hit 4 lands, which is...
That's kind of insane.
That's a lot.
I mean, on average, that's going to be in a limited game. That could be like half your deck.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. If he comes out, you got to get rid of him, immediately.
Yep.
In a way that hopefully doesn't do damage to you.
You could also just block him.
Okay.
That's true.
With a flyer with more than 2 toughness on its butt.
There's lots of 2/3 flyers out there.
All right.
You could block him with that vampire rogue, Balustrade Spy. Or you could block him with that 2/3, the Sunspire Griffin.
Yep.
Or you could block him with... Nope, that's it.
That's two.
You could block him with Towering Indric.
Oh, yeah. Nice 2/4.
Mm-hmm.
Or depending, you could block him with your Crokinura.
Yeah, totally. No one would judge you for blocking him with your Crokinura.
I think that would just piss that dude off to be blocked by a weird frog.
Yeah, doesn't look...
He's not going to be able to drink the mind of a frog lizard.
I mean, he could, but he probably wouldn't enjoy it.
He wouldn't come up with a lot.
It would not taste great.
It wouldn't.
It might make you blah, blah, blah. What was that guy's name? Dakon Blackblade.
Dakon Blackblade. All right. We also have, let's see.
Varlaz, the Scar-Striped.
The Scar-Striped? Poor buddy.
He's a troll. I think his scars are going to heal.
Okay.
This guy only costs 3. He's a bargain. He's so cheap.
Yeah? Tell us about him.
Well, he's a troll warrior, and it looks like he's holding, a ceremonial knife, and then also just, a rope with some skulls tied to it.
I was really hoping to hear about his abilities, but your description was great.
He's got mushrooms growing off him.
So he gives every creature card in your graveyard scavenge.
Oh, sweet. Dude.
So things that are not supposed to have scavenge now have scavenge. And you can sacrifice creatures to regenerate them. So if you have a creature in the battlefield that you would rather scavenge, you can just do it whenever you want.
Nice.
That's a great ability.
And he's a 2/2.
Scavenge, can you go over what that is?
Yeah. You exile a creature in your graveyard, and then you put a number of +1/+1 counters equal to its power on target creature that you control? No, on any creature.
Nice.
Yeah. So he can, you can like, oh, and the scavenge cost is equal to whatever the creature's mana cost is, which is actually pretty sweet. Like if you have if you have a 2/2 for two or something, like like paying two to make something bigger is pretty sweet. So yeah, that guy's gonna be all right.
Nice. Let's talk about going back to some of the other ones that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
We talked about how Borborygmos is a little big to be able to cast. How are some of these other cards playing right now?
In their formats?
Yes, in their formats.
So that guy was a little bit expensive. I thought Prime Speaker Zagana was a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. She cost 6 mana and is not always that big. Tristani for 4 was pretty good, I thought, as was Rakdos for 4.
Mm-hmm.
Obsidot for 5 was insane. A 5/5 for 5 that also like drains life and does crazy stuff. Niv-Mizzet was a 5/5 flyer for 6 that could also help you draw a million extra cards. So that thing was awesome. And then like Lazav was reasonable but not insane. Jared is pretty good. Aurelia, I think, is absurd.
It's insanity.
Espiria was pretty good, I thought. 6/4 flyer for 6 is pretty awesome, and then it also helps you draw a lot of cards too. So,
I think what is going to be most interesting to me when Dragon's Maze comes out is to see the full realization of all the guilds that they've constructed. Because when you're playing in, you know, Return to Ravnica, say Izzet was not the number one guild you perhaps wanted to draft.
You think it's going to get better?
And I'm just wondering, maybe when it's fully complete, it'll be better.
Yep.
I don't know. Based on the cards we've seen, I have not seen.
You mean that Goblin?
Yeah, Goblin Test Pilot. Have you seen this card, Megan?
Yikes.
No. But I almost made a joke about its name.
It was causing quite the stir on the internet.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about Goblin Test Pilot.
So Goblin Test Pilot costs 3 mana. He's an Izzet card. He has flying, and he's an O2. And you can tap him, so he's an O2 with flying. You know,
sure.
Ornithopter was a great card, so is Goblin Test Pilot. You can tap him, and Goblin Test Pilot deals 2 damage to target creature or player chosen at random.
How do you even do that?
Well,
it's complicated.
You count them up, you sign a number.
And you roll a die.
Yeah.
What?
Or maybe you give a die to each player and creature in play, and then you roll them all, and then you just take the high one.
That's ridiculous.
This is getting too complicated for me.
It's pretty dumb.
On the other hand, if you want to make a game go to draw, just tap your Goblin Test Pilot a bunch.
Yeah, right.
I'm just looking at the art now for the first time, but it looks like this Goblin Test Pilot has his eyes covered.
He's blindfold.
Of course he does. He's just a test pilot.
This reminds me of, like, the Rocketeer combined with Luke's blast shield that he uses to train in the Force.
Yes, yes.
I do also remember looking at, was it Council of the Absolute, and being like, what? Why?
Your eyes can deceive you.
Okay, tell me more about why.
Old Ben.
Why Council of the Absolute is good?
Yeah.
Because you can, like, stop your opponent from casting a spell.
That's true.
I'm going to say that it's not good in Limited.
Yeah.
Probably not very good in Limited.
And its second ability is only good if you are playing the same colors as your opponent.
No, that's not true.
Or you have like the same card, right?
Right, but having the option to do either one.
What is the second ability?
It's pretty good. So the ability, it says, this is a 2/4 for 4, and it's an Azorius card, and when it comes into play, you name a card other than a creature or land card. Your opponent can't cast cards with the chosen name. And spells with the chosen name you cast cost 2 or less to cast.
I feel like this is definitely a constructed card.
Yeah, so it makes it easier for you to cast stuff and harder for your opponent to cast stuff. You might like side this card in if you like know your opponent has a planeswalker or something and you just don't have a lot of other ways to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This guy, however, is not one of the guild champions. He's not a legend.
Yeah, I just saw him. and remembered being like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Also point out that Putrefy is back, and you guys...
People seem very excited that it was returned.
You guys didn't play with the original Putrefy, but this card is awesome. It's pretty great removal. This is probably going to be the best removal in the whole draft format.
Mm-hmm. Three.
All right. I guess Terminate might be better, but it's not instant speed. Not Terminate, but Ground Assault, which is basically Terminate. You know what I'm saying, guys?
There's also, totally. What's the Rakdos 2? The one that costs 2? That
Dreadbore? Oh,
yeah. Dreadbore.
Yeah, that's a rare, though, so you won't see it that often.
Yeah.
All right, so what are the other legends that are coming up in Dragon's Maze?
So none of the guild...
I really like this Italian skeleton.
He makes it difficult to play unless you're bilingual. Which is
I love seeing the spoilers in different languages. It's so cute.
Oh, other languages. You guys can play too.
Okay, there's some cool stuff here.
We also have... I do like the way that it feels like the... guild leaders are too like large and unwieldy to fit in the Dragon's Maze, right?
Yeah.
And then, but it's like the champion's like, oh, nimble.
Well, get in there.
I'm dodging things.
Slow and quick.
I'm riding one of those light cycles from Tron. All right.
Which is how you make it through.
So the Azorius champion is Lavinia of the Tenth.
What a sweet ass name.
A 4/4 for 5, protection from red. When Lavinia the Tenth enters the battlefield, detain each non-land permanent your opponent controls with converted mana cost 4 or less.
That's a lot.
That's a spicy meatball. Although I don't know what... She's wearing like a skin-tight hood. It looks like she's ready to go scuba diving with that hood.
It's a little Joan of Arc.
Yeah, totally Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
But she's reading the hell out of that scroll.
Nice. That scroll is going to get a massive spanking from that look on her face.
So yeah. She has protection from red, which is kind of weird. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that seemed strange.
I mean, I can see why red is the enemy.
She's
blue and white.
Yeah, she doesn't like chaos. Zorius doesn't like chaos at all. So
it's very order and justice.
Yeah, yeah. I understand why she'd have protection from red, but none of the other champions have protection from a color.
Yeah.
So that's the only part that confuses me.
Do you know what? She's Joan of Arc. She can do what she wants.
Okay, sure.
I'm quite excited about...
Didn't Joan of Arc get burned at the stake?
Yes, shut up. Yep, that's... She
she can do she it. Has... She wanted that bit.
Yeah. I guess if she's like, look, if I'm going to be reincarnated, I have a few conditions. Yeah. One, I have to be given protection for being burned at the stake.
Yeah.
Protection from red.
Protection from red.
And two... I need to be able to detain things.
Yeah, because yes. She was mad at whoever was taking her down.
Yep.
Yep. So she's going to be hard to kill. You'll have to grisly spectacle her.
Can't dreadbore that.
You know who's not a fan of Joan of Arc? William Shakespeare. Let's just keep moving. All right.
What was his problem?
I don't know, but he totally wrote her into one of his plays as a crazy person.
Well, she heard voices.
Well, that's fair. But I think she's kind of a slut in his play.
Oh. What? A tramp?
I know.
Did she have a don't think ink?
Was that what we called it? A don't think ink? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of these other ones before my computer dies.
Exava, Rakdos Blood Witch.
Oh, yeah.
That's a badass title.
I am quite excited for this. I'll be playing Rakdos at the pre-release.
Ooh. Rakdos Blood Witch.
Because that was my first draft ever was Rakdos, so I feel like I have to come full circle back
full
around
circle
you guys.
Full circle back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does the Blood Witch make you feel?
Pretty great. She's a 3/3 for 4, and she has first strike and haste, which I just love.
She's already great.
Yep. And she has Unleash Everybody.
What?
Which I also love, Unleash.
So she's basically a 4/4 for 4.
Correct.
That can't be blocked ever.
And, right, because she has first strike. And any other creature that I put a 1/1 counter on, it has haste as well.
Shut up.
That's so, right.
Go to hell.
I'm not. Well, I will because I'm Rakdos.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty great.
Yeah. If you get that, you're gonna have a fun day ahead.
Yeah.
That's totally Maria style. Put the counters on, haste, boom, 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 tappity tap, tap, attack.
Tappity tap, tap,
attack. Tappity tap, tap, tap,
tap, tap, tap, tap, tap, tappity tap, tap.
You guys. This one has been causing some discussion. Tessa, envoy of ghosts. She is 7/5 in a white and a black for a 4/4. Now, her ability is cray cray. She has vigilance, protection from creatures, and whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, you can destroy that creature, and you get a 1/1 white and black spirit token with flying. So that's pretty good.
Crazy.
So she can never be blocked.
Basically. Yeah. And you can't kill her with a creature of any kind, but she costs a lot.
But if anything deals you combat damage, its days are done. So, sorry, Exava Rakdos Blood Witch. Did you just deal me 4 damage?
You're dead. You're dead.
Unless you're dead first.
Unless you're dead first. That's fair.
Which you will be.
Which you will be if you waited until 7 mana to deal with Exava Rakdos Blood Witch.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you feel about her, Ben?
You know.
Other than the fact that she has a massive rack.
Well, I mean, even if she does have a rack, it's a little flat because she's on a two-dimensional card.
Mm, understand.
You know what I mean?
Ben is upset that he can't feel up
Tessa
Envoy of Ghosts.
I'm not upset. I'm just pointing out the drawbacks.
Oh. Okay.
Also, who can wait until 7 mana, you know? You know what I mean?
The 7th date. Can you wait until the 7th date to feel someone's boobs, Megan?
Can I wait?
Well, no. I mean...
because the answer to that is yes.
Okay. Let's think about it this way. 7th date, right?
The 7th date is probably a little... It's a little bit of a long time.
Okay, so do you think that is appropriate time for boob touch?
That's way too long.
I would say that it's probably too long at
okay,
that point.
Okay, so what do you guys think is the number?
I think that you should be able to touch Tessa Envoy of Ghosts' boobs.
Uh-huh.
Probably 4.
4?
Yeah, that's like a that's a slightly conservative number. But
I'm gonna ask this though. Yeah. Do you know this person?
Hopefully.
No, well, okay, I mean, no. If it's the 4th date,
okay,
and I don't.
That's not what I mean. I mean,
problem.
Was this a blind date situation from the first date on?
See, if it was, I think I was assuming blind date
okay
in that situation. All right,
blind date. So yes. 4th date.
4.
Boob yes touch. All right, yes. Ben, what do you have to say?
Well, I think it probably depends on the girl. Like the, you
you're
know,
telling me you don't just go in there no
the,
matter what?
The owner yeah of the boobs?
Yeah.
Boy is 4th date.
If she wants, if she seems like she'd be okay, then like do it on the negative 1st date.
Right. That's somehow very respectful, but also kind of sleazy. You managed to say both of those things.
You're welcome.
That's Ben.
You're welcome.
Respectful
and sleazy. Get that tattoo.
Yes. Maria, what's your opinion?
Man, that's a hard one, because it really depends on the situation.
It really depends on the situation, which is why I said 4. Slightly conservative, yeah, but it'll cover a lot of situations.
True.
A good rule of thumb for when you don't want to have to, like,
well,
you know.
You don't want to have to make up your own mind.
Right, or, like, pay attention to what's going on.
Mm. Yep.
I never do.
Yep.
So, speaking of meat.
Oh, yep, okay. You will use that transition.
Do you guys want to talk about Voral of the Hulklade?
This guy seems insane.
He looks ripped.
He's totally ripped.
He is.
He must,
he's also
he
wearing
must
a
do
cloak.
CrossFit.
I don't know. I'm not into it. If a guy has a six-pack, no way.
I'm guessing this guy has a six-pack, like another one on
but
his back.
But because of his ability, he has a double six-pack.
12-pack.
So he's a 1/4 for 3, and if you pay 2 mana and tap him, then you double the number of counters on, like, anything, basically.
Jeez.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, any artifact, creature, or land. So most of the time, this is going to be dudes with Evolve, right? But you could also do it to dudes with Unleash.
Could you imagine? But it's never going to happen.
It'll happen. You'll be able to do a four-color deck at some point. Or, like, there's plenty of one monocolored creatures that have Unleash.
Okay.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
You could be going green, blue, black.
I would love that to happen.
Yeah?
Yep.
I mean, you'll have to go... You won't be able to be... you could also just be Rakdos and then also blue. Like, that'll be doable in some decks.
Well, this set is going to be rewarding you for playing multiple colors and has specific cards to help out with that, with its gatekeeper cards, which are in each color.
Yeah.
That give you a bonus for having multiple gates out in the field. So, you guys, the other day I drafted a three color and I was like just unhappy with it being three colors.
That's
okay. And I was just like, oh, I felt so down about it. I'm like, I'm never drafting three colors again. But man, this one, that's going to be the way of the world.
Yep. Yep, it's true.
Are you guys going to be lost and confused? As if you were in a maze?
I get it.
See what you did there.
They should just put text on cards that doesn't make any sense when you read it. Yeah. So you get the feeling like you're in the maze.
I'm lost in a maze.
I think the feeling they're going for is like you're a contestant on American Gladiators. And they're like... shooting balls at you.
Great show.
Nice.
Yeah.
I prefer Ninja Warrior.
What?
The show.
What is that?
Is that the Japanese version of American Gladiator?
It's kind of like that. I think that they have one called... I don't know. Anyways, Ninja Warrior is like... It's like a giant... It's several giant obstacle courses, but they're insane. Including, like, you have to, like, run down. It's like a half pipe, but you run down one side, and then the other side kind of, like, curls over on top. So you're running up, and then they have to jump and, like, grab. I'm not doing a good job explaining this.
Yeah,
it's insane, guys. If you haven't seen Ninja Warrior...
Do you have to kill a guy?
Yes. It's the final task.
Neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways. So, how are you feeling so far, based on all these spoilers, Ben, about Dragon's Maze?
I think these spoilers are nutballs. Have you seen some of these cards? Goblin Test Pilot? Crazy. Fuse cards? Crazy. Guild Champions? Crazy. There's not a normal fucking card in this entire set.
Okay.
Well, what do you think? They've been designing for so long, they're like, they're done with being normal.
They're just like, go crazy.
Yeah. No, yeah. I just think that I do think they're going a little nutty just because they want, like, this set to feel like we're taking things to the next level. Like,
yeah.
If we weren't touching boobs before, yeah, we're touching boobs now.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Going down to Brown Town.
Oh, my God. What?
What does that mean?
No.
I'm going to assume...
No.
That I'm dating someone who's not Caucasian. I'm gonna just hope that's what that means.
Yeah.
Sure, you can think that.
Yes. Oh my God.
I don't know, what do you guys think about these cards you've seen?
Well, I have the same feeling I felt when Great Crash came out, that I was like, these are crazy compared to Return to Ravnica. Now, and this is the same thing I'm thinking again.
Now, when they show us the previews, they do show us the craziest cards first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we've seen some pretty crazy shit.
And some of them are just gold. Some of the crazy ones. They're not even, you know, mythic.
Yep.
What, just gold? What does that mean?
Rare.
They're just rare. They're not mythic rare.
Oh, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep. Some of them are even just uncommons.
Yikes.
Mm.
Yep.
Those look like... Those gatekeepers, the fact that they're all common and they're all 2/4s,
mm-hmm.
I think means that this format is going to be a lot more like Return to Ravnica, where everything just had 4 toughness.
Yeah.
Whereas previous 3 was a magic number.
In Gatecrash?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess 3 was the magic number, kind of. Although you could win just by drafting all 2/2s.
True.
Let's do a little rules thing real quick, because Maria and I were talking about this the other day.
Oh, do you guys had a conversation without me?
We had a conversation without you, Ben. Okay. And we solved our own problem.
Wow, tell me about it.
So we were talking about, we were playing some Innistrad dual decks.
Mm.
Sorin versus Tybalt.
Oh.
Yeah. And Maria had drawn Soren, Lord of Innistrad. I feel like it's improper to not address him by his full name and title.
Sure.
And so, and I had a card that you could tap to deal one damage to your opponent. And so our question was, oh, if it says tap to deal one damage to target player, can you tap and deal damage to Soren, Lord of Innistrad?
Yep. Whenever something you control deals damage to an opponent, you can choose to redirect that to any one planeswalker that your opponent controls.
And Ben, we replaced you with Google, which is what we use to find out exactly what you just said.
Yeah, that's sorry. I'm fine with that. That's fine.
It's going to be Google Kenobi and the Padawans next time.
All right. Yeah, good luck. I'm looking forward to listening to that podcast.
Yes.
From your YouTube warm Google. Bath. We're going to have... Hey, guys, it's Google here.
Remember what? Remember how good of a co-host Siri was?
Siri! Why did we ever take her off?
Hold on.
Oh, here we go. Ask Siri the planeswalker question.
Hey, Siri, if you're a planeswalker, can you redirect damage to, like, a planeswalker instead of a player? You know what I mean, Siri.
Looking.
She's looking.
Yep.
Would you like me to search the web for if your plans launcher and can you read your exams to like a planeswalker and civil player? You know what I'm?
What? Can we read that?
Ben, you are so replaced.
Would you like me to search the web for, quote, if if your plans lockern? I can't read it.
Lockern? That's not a word.
If your plans lockern, can you read your exams to like a planeswalker in civil player? You know what I'm?
Wow, Siri, you've so much to learn about magic and about love.
Flavortext Theater presents MDGO Theater. What follows is a real-life drama that happened to Ben on Magic the Gathering Online, performed by Maria and Megan.
6:15 p.m. Shendu joined the game.
6:15 p.m. Middle schooler joined the game. 6:15 p.m. Middle schooler chooses to play first. 6:15 p.m. Middle schooler keeps his hand.
6:16 p.m. Shendu mulligans to 6 cards. 6:16 p.m. Shendu mulligans to 5 cards. 6:16 p.m. Shendu mulligans to 4 cards. 6:16 p.m. Shendu mulligans to 3 cards. 6:16 p.m. Shendu has conceded from the game. 6:16 p.m. Shendu has left the game.
This has been MTGO Theater. Remember, this exchange could happen to you. All names have not been changed because fuck it.
Nice. Nice. All right.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening to episode 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
You feel more powerful?
Are we going to create a card? Because I really like create a card. Okay, I know we're almost Megan. Out of time.
You better do it fast.
I don't have one ready.
How about out of time?
Out of time.
Okay, out of time.
Out of time.
Ooh, I feel like it's like an enchantment that you have out on the battlefield that if you run out of time before game 3 is finished, you automatically win no matter what.
Ooh! Hey, that's a good one.
I like it. I like it.
Alternatively, out of time is just a watch that you wear. And if you lose, your opponent gets to break it.
Or out of time could be the license plate from Back to the Future.
Out of time! Yeah!
Burm, burm.
Burm, burm. That's the power of love.
Doo-doo. Do, 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 do.
That's the power of love.
Everybody, get a hold of us on Twitter at MTAcast. Shoot us an email at magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. Check out our website with great articles from Maria and Megan at magicTheAmaturing.com. Send us a review on iTunes. Remember at the beginning of the show, you want a pun, we'll give you a pun. Wow, that was really fast. You guys.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, boom.
And you guys, remember, join my clan. You get cookies.
But it's not on Magic the Gathering.
Don't look for it.
It's not. Don't.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Tweet us your taps.